the benefits of salvation. I was thinking about benefits. A lot of us, when we get ready to get a job, they usually go through the benefits. You know, I knew before I got my job in Florida, I'd been teaching in Texas, but I knew one thing. I knew the salary, the amount of money that I would receive. And then as I got into it, there are other benefits that we might have. For instance, in Florida, they have an option to where you can get paid just the 10 months of the year that you work, or you can opt to get paid the whole summer. If you get paid, for instance, the 10 months, each month is more, right? You get more. But then you can take that salary. So at the time, I think when I started, it was $20,000 a year. Of course, it got more and more as I was there. But they would take that $22,000, $24,000, whatever, and they could divide it up 12 months out of a year. Or they could just give it to you 10 months and you would get more on your check. But then in the summer, you would have to have been smart enough to save back, because there's no extra unless you did summer school. Well, that's called benefits. Then they have other benefits. They have retirement benefits you could get. And you could decide who you want. At the time, Anthony was underage, so I put him on my retirement benefit, and they had like so many years after I retired, that if something happened to me, money would go to him. Well, there are benefits to salvation. And the benefits to salvation is above and beyond any of the benefits you could get in this world. Let's go to Psalm 68:19.
Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah.
He's the God of our salvation, and he daily loadeth us with benefits. There are benefits, just like your mom, when she's working, she's looking at the benefits of her job. What are the benefits? And maybe she wants to go to a higher level. What are the benefits she's going to have to this? What is it going to cost? In salvation, we have benefits. He daily loads us with benefits. Sometimes people look at salvation like it's a hard life. They don't accept it. They think it's a hard life. Or they might think it's a boring life. But when you think of the benefits of salvation, be honest, they outweigh anything that may be hard or boring. And so, when looking to all the benefits of salvation that we have, we don't want to look down on salvation. It is wonderful. You know, if I get a good job and I make plenty of money, and that job has great benefits, do you know it'll only last for a time? How long? A lot of people now, my brother-in-law, he worked for Dr. Pepper, and I think he worked for 40 some years before he retired. And he has great benefit. It profited him. But 40 some years, and then you're through. Of course, if the benefits are 40, say he starts to working at 20, age 20, and he works 45 years, how old would he be when he retire?
65.
So he's got 65, he's at 65, right? So then you want to think of after that 65, if he lives 20 more years, that's it. And it's done. Same with me. I taught in different places. If I didn't get 40 years in Florida, but I got 20, I think it was 20, and then they give you an extra, if you, they had a program where you could retire early, I took that program. Yet you're still, like, you're still working, but you're in retirement. At any rate, the time that's spent working and the time of retirement, those are your benefits, but they're limited, aren't they? But in salvation, we have benefits that we're able to get in this life. It could be, like, I was telling the girls the other night that when I got my personal revelation from God, I was 12 years old. So that would mean, I believe it's 69 years of being, even though I had to renew myself at one point and all of that, but it's 69 years of really, I never lost that relationship to that point. I can't describe it, but anyway. All of these years, and then should the Lord let me live 2 or 3 more years, 5 years, I don't expect 10, but only the Lord knows, it's over. But it's not over. It's over in this world, but then I have eternity that benefit goes on. Do you follow me? So from the time I'm here and the time in eternity, the benefit goes on and on. Once we get in eternity, there's no end. So look, see how that we can have the benefits of salvation outweigh any benefit you can have here. I don't care how much money you make. Do you know these people that have these, Elon Musk? He's the richest man, right?
No.
Well, supposedly. But when he dies, his riches don't go with him. But when we live for God, those riches go with us. So do you see how, what a blessing, what a benefit we have to live for God? Because it doesn't stop. It goes on into eternity. Isaiah 12:2.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation.
So, salvation. God is our strength. He's our song. He's our salvation. And he has loaded us with this benefit of salvation. Salvation is a wonderful thing. It's not something to look down on. Many people do look down on it. They say, why do you live like that? You deny yourself. You don't go to the parties. You don't drink. You don't, you can't do this and you can't do that. They look at you can't do. They don't want it. But they don't realize it is a benefit to being saved. This salvation is nothing you can have in this life can be compared to it. So God is our salvation. He's our strength. He gives us, he does everything. If we need it, any kind of help we need, he's going to be there for us. We're not deprived. Though people might think you're deprived, you're not deprived. But you are rich. And we want to look at the blessings of salvation. I was thinking about how much I was meditating on this, and I felt so limited because I can just, in the little time I'm given here, I can only scratch the surface of the benefits of salvation. I can't really go all the details, all the blessings, all the, but I want to give us a little taste of the blessings of salvation. There's a song in our songbook. Turn to page 77. Somebody give me a songbook, because usually there's one up here, but it's not. Want to look at this song. This song, page 77, kind of enumerates the benefits of salvation. It says, it satisfies my soul. For me, the blessed Savior came, his great salvation to proclaim. Oh, glory to his precious name. It satisfies my soul. Salvation is unmeasured grace. We start, this song has six verses to it. But each verse is telling different things. First verse just tells us about salvation. You guys get the songbook so you could look at it. It says, it fits us for the Christian race, unveils the Father's smiling face. It satisfies my soul. So it says it gives us unmeasured grace. And then the third verse, salvation brings supreme delight. It changes darkness into light and makes the Christian's pathway bright. It satisfies my soul. Salvation brings abiding peace. Do you know these are benefits of salvation? You can be at peace when others around you are not at peace and when they are distraught. I was reading, it came up on my phone, this man that died. He was the founder of this group of people that believe in assisted death. And so he took his life like that. He was almost 93. He believed in that, so he took, I guess, his medication, whatever it is that helps you to die. But salvation is better than that because it makes you happy and it gives you delight and it changes darkness into light and it gives you peace. You don't have to feel like you got to take your life because salvation gives you hope. It's shiny glories, air increase, its flowing rivers never cease. It satisfies my soul. Salvation makes us happy here. See, if you're not happy, it's something wrong. Because salvation makes us happy here. Surpassing all that earth, any kind of pleasure that you can give in this earth, salvation goes better than that, farther than that. You can say, I'm going on have fun on the town. Salvation is better and greater, and fills the drooping heart with cheer. If you're drooping and you're not happy, you need salvation. Salvation richer far than gold. All the money these people have, salvation is richer than that. Than glittering gems that turn to mold. Its wealth no lingers ever has told. It satisfies my soul. So one look, God, salvation does all of this for us.
I said unto him, verily, verily, I said unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
So we must be born again. Let's go to Romans 10, 8 and 10. I was talking to the girls the other night, and we were talking about how you get saved. Leah said, you must repent. And then we talked about repentance. And she said, you don't just say, I'm sorry, and just go on. You have to really mean it. So to get this great salvation, we got to have a heart change. It's not going to work if we don't. You have Romans 10?
Romans 10 and what?
8.
Romans 10 and 8. But what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he shall believe in thine heart, and shall believe in thy heart that thou hast raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
So you see, it's more than just saying that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to take a heart change. A heart that is going to come from the heart in order for us to have this great salvation. Acts 2 and 21. Some people asked Peter and John, they're trying to find out, what shall we do? Not Peter and John, it was Peter, I think, preaching at this time. And he explained to them what they need to do.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay, so we got to call on him. We got to call on him to be saved. We can't just have this in our head and in our mind and saying, I believe. We got to pray and call on him. Mm-hmm. Then skip down to 37 and read 37-38.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
38.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Repentance is a heart thing. It's not just words. It's in my heart, I am sorry. Do you know if you're really sorry in your heart, you won't go back to things? When people go back to the things that they have been doing, they really weren't sorry. Sorry makes you not want to go back to it. So you get saved, and a lot of children, young people do this. They go to the meeting, they get saved in Monarch or Guthrie or something, and then by the next year they're back in their old ways and they have to get saved again. And I don't criticize them for getting saved again, but you got to think of, what is it I need to do in order to keep what I have, not to get saved and then back up, look up, you're not saved. But true repentance makes you so sorry for what you did. You shame of it. You ever did something that you were ashamed of? Yeah. And when you were, you felt bad enough not to want to do it again, right? And so the same thing with repentance. 1 John 1:9.
1 John 1:9. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So, you know, sometimes people want to kind of hide some stuff, or they don't want to say I did this or that. But it's good to confess your sins. It's good to say I did wrong. I lied. Or I took something. Confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive your sin. That don't mean you got to confess to everybody, but you confess to God, right? When you go to him and you ask him to forgive you your sin, you confess those sins to God. Don't cover them. Confess them. And he said he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once we get saved and give our heart to God, we become heirs of Christ. We go from rags to riches. We were rags. When you're not saved and you're not living for God, it's like a pauper, somebody that have nothing but rags on. And but then we go, we become a child of the King. Then we become joint heirs with Christ. It is a benefit to become joint heirs with Christ. Can you imagine? Think of it now. This is real. That when you were in sin, it was like you have on these old, dirty, raggedy clothes. You know, like sometimes you see homeless people. Remember that lady? Somebody, I don't know if you remember. But in Florida, there was the bag lady. Do you remember her? And she wore all these brown paper bags all over her. You may not, but you were there during that time. But I don't know if you remember because you were so young. But she was a bag lady. Used to be. That woman was very smart from what I heard. She had been a teacher, but something happened. Well, it's the same way. When we're not saved, we're just as bad as the bag lady. That's the way we look before God. Rags. But then when we give our heart to God, we put on some real clothes. And now we're not only, you know, in a good shape, but we're joint heirs. We become child of the King. God is the King. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have been taken off the street, so to speak, homeless, and put in the King's castle. And we have royalty. And we're blessed. That's what salvation does for us. So, let's go to Romans 8:14. We'll read verses 14-17.
Romans 8:14. Mm-hmm. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
All the way to 17.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
See, now the Lord has accepted us as his child, like Jesus was the Son of God. We become his children, and we're joint heirs with Christ. So these are all the benefits of being a saved person. We're no longer in rags. We're no longer homeless. We're no longer wearing dirty, filthy clothes, but we're clean and we're washed and we're new. The old life is gone. If we have the old life, we're not saved. We need to be saved. We need to have the new life in Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
So you see, now we don't live that old life, that rugged life, but we have a new life in Christ. And as we read, we have different scriptures here to see some of the difference from the old life to the new life. Let's go to Romans 6 and read 1-6. So everything becomes new. These are benefits. We don't have to, if we had trouble telling the truth, we don't have to deal with that anymore because we're new. If we had anger issues and we found ourselves being vindictive toward people, God changes that. And he takes away all of that. Romans 6:1-6.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve him. For he that is dead is freed from sin.
So, the old life, the old ways of doing things are changed, and now we can have a new life. I want you to think a minute. How does the old life compare to the new life? The old life, for instance, maybe I'm angry all the time. Or maybe I walk around with the chip on my shoulder because, you know, you don't knock this chip off or we're going to fight. Easy to fight. That's the old life. But now you have a life that's changed to where you don't get upset with every little thing. You don't maybe slam doors or break stuff when you get mad. But now you're at peace. Now you're happy. Now you're joyful. Look at the benefits of salvation. It's a changed life and it's a happy life. From there, we're going to look at eternity. Then John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we inherit eternal life. We inherit the ability to live eternity in heaven instead of going to hell. Do you know to be away from God for eternity is not good? But it's wonderful to have that hope within us, to have our eternity with him. So let's go to, you're in Romans. Go down to verse 23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
What a benefit, eternal life. That you're going, we have a choice. we can enjoy the benefits of salvation and have eternal life, or we can reject salvation and have eternal damnation. I just wonder how people, when you analyze it and you think of the advantages and disadvantages of not being saved, the advantages, the benefits outweigh the disadvantages. People might, whatever little sacrifice you think you're making in this life, being saved, is not to be compared. Even Paul said, the small, it's a word he used. Other words, the things they had to go through in this life is not to be compared with the joy which shall be revealed. And so we need to take time to look at the benefits of salvation and to accept his salvation. And if we have accepted his salvation, these benefits should help us to hold on to it and not turn loose. Sometimes when kids are home, they'll get saved and they'll live saved. And then when they get grown and they get out on their own, they go their own way. But they are forgetting that it's more than, you know, mom made me go to church, grandma made me go to church, all these kind of things. I'm not going to church. Or, you know, they wouldn't let me do this, so I'm going to do that. But then in the end, what's the losses? There's one song in here says profit and losses. There's losses to going that way, but there are benefits to holding on to the Lord. Let's go now to Psalms 103 and 2.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Yes. So let's don't forget the benefits of God. It's worth it. No matter what you're dealing with in life, it's far better to accept his benefits of salvation than to reject and be lost.